Hey there, everybody. How are y'all doing today? This is your girl Stacks here with the Hollywood Pile Up. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Today is Monday, as usual, when we're here. That's right. And you know it's a Monday when it's, what, almost 2 o'clock and you have coffee still in your hand and you have a donut with you. Yeah. It's Monday when you need that extra sugar and that extra caffeine to get you through the day. So, I know that the countdown for the semester has begun and only like 3 more weeks left for school, if that, if you count finals. Now, you know the end of the semester is coming when you start receiving professor evaluations through email. Seriously. I always intend on filling them out as soon as I get them, but I always forget. Lucky for me and everyone else who forgets, because the Dominican system is so persistent that we get those done. And I think the free printing pages are a good incentive, because I mean, the ink is hella expensive nowadays, and we go through a whole lot of ink during the semester. But enough about that, let's get to the gossip and the celebrity trash talking in today's Hollywood Pile Up. This is your girl Stacks, and we are bringing the latest in celebrity news and gossip. So keep listening. I think it's safe to say that everyone, and I seriously mean everyone, knows Coachella is in full effect. And it's been for the past 2 weekends. Everybody is posting pictures of their tribal dresses, their rip shorts, and their fringe crop tops with the rock bands. You know, I think that it's a whole new culture. It's a whole new culture that comes with Coachella. And I'm surprised at the amount of money that is spent on one ticket. Now, I was on the Coachella's website and I found that the average price for one general admission ticket is $375. Yeah, no, I don't think it's something you want to be laughing at. But $375? Like, are you kidding me? That is crazy, 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 crazy amount of money. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I would not pay $375 just to go see some bands. And I know that the lineup is usually a very popular topic because, of course, everybody wants to go and see the headliners. But then you have all the, you know, hipsters who are like, no, yeah, right. We're only here for the, you know, the people in the very, very tiny print. Like, okay, who are we kidding? No, but for seriously, the $375, I can seriously pay my whole insurance, my car insurance, my phone bills, and still have some money to shop. And I was seriously dying when I saw on Coachella's website that you can seriously get a payment plan if you can't afford the price up front. See, so I mean, I guess it isn't just Kmart, you know, with the layaway plan. So anyway, there was some shade thrown at Coachella, of course. Now, what would be a music festival filled with celebrities and famous people? And what would that be without any shade? What would it be without controversy? It would be boring, honestly. Now, there was some shade thrown at Kendall Jenner while she attended a Tyler, the Creator concert. On April 11th, the rapper held his concert and sent a big F you to everyone in the VIP section. And of course, Little Miss Kendall Jenner was part of that crew. But here's the shade. They are actually friends. Yeah, everybody. They are actually friends. So Tyler, the Creator, also said, "This section sucks. Y'all the ends that got money, that paid extra. F y'all, y'all boring." But wait, nope, there's more, like Billy May says. Tyler didn't stop there. He even said, "Kendall Jenner, even thinking she cute and shit? Hey, Kendall, I'm over here to your right. F you." And it was all right, though. It was all right. Nobody was like, okay. You know, because Kendall laughed about it and pointed her cute ass middle finger in response, then threw a heart sign with her hands. Now, on Sunday morning, April 12th, Kendall Instagrammed a picture of Tyler's new album, Cherry Bomb, with the caption, "No Love Lost." And the two stars engaged in a Twitter conversation when he posted, "People really think I hate you." And he also wrote, "Love, ha ha ha." And she retweeted this and inserted three crying, laughing emojis, alluding to the fact that she knew that it was a joke. Like, come on. I actually kind of wish that it wouldn't have been a joke. Now, that would have been hella funny, especially since he called out all the rich kids who paid a hella extra more money just to stand in the VIP section. Now, I'm just wondering if you can get VIP tickets on the installment plan too. Now, wouldn't that be nice? Maybe I would even be hopping on that bandwagon. But let's be real, because those tickets seriously sell out so quickly. And just think of it. They are making a whole lot of freaking money off of you. And I'm sure that the artists are getting a big fat paycheck. So I just wish I was rich, man. That's all I want. Now, in some other news, Baby Northwest was baptized last week, and what better place to receive the name of the Holy Spirit than in Jerusalem? Now, the event, and I say yes, event, because nothing the Wests do is ever low-key, and I mean nothing. So the event took place in St. James Cathedral. Chloe actually became the godmother to the one-year-old Baby Northwest. And the priest reportedly took place as the godfather because no one else was there. And this practice is actually not too uncommon. But let's talk about their wardrobe too, because of course every day is a runway when you have millions just laying there in your bank account. And you have nothing else to do because you have everything, so you just want to go out and shop. Now, Kim Kardashian wore a beige loose V-neck top with like a forest green. It was kind of like a muted green. It was like a long skirt, had some pleats in there. It's kind of looking kind of silky. While Baby North was done in all white, as it is traditionally done so. Chloe, on the other hand, wore all black. A bit depressing, you know, given the situation. And Kanye also wore white as change. Usually I feel like I see him in black all the time. And I'm just glad that he was wearing something other than that. Because imagine if he had shown up with some black leather pants and a black tall tee. Because let's be real, Kanye is still sticking with the tall tee trend that nobody else is doing anymore. That I feel like that is just so what? Like 2001, I don't know, early 2000s. But anyway, he actually wore white, which was nice. And after the quote-unquote special ceremony, the happy family went to have dinner with Nir Barkat, the Jerusalem mayor, and they spoke about the city's history, you know, with the famous family, spoke about everything about the city. I mean, I think that would be pretty cool. I think that would probably be one of the only reasons why it would be cool to be a celebrity, is that you can go and meet whoever the heck you want. And then just make sure that they actually want to meet you. Because what's the point if you're going to be turned down? You know what I'm saying? It could happen. So I think that's pretty awesome. I think not a bad day. Not a bad day at all in the life of the Kardashian West family. Of course, they are always in some sort of controversy. But I thought it was really crazy how when the ceremony took place, they were just bombarded. And I seriously mean bombarded by paparazzi and everybody just trying to sneak in a pic of the family. Now, I was a little afraid when I saw the pictures because I was like, oh my gosh, like here we are with Kanye holding Baby North. And okay, she is adorable. She is cute as hell, honestly. And she must have some thick skin already, because to have your picture taken, unwillingly all the time by paparazzi, and you're constantly just, you know, being attacked by paparazzi and people just trying to take your picture, like, dang. Like, and you're a one-year-old? Oh, my God. So I thought that was cool. But what was scary, though, is the priest's attire. Now, I know that traditionally they have, like, the long robes and they have some sort of, like, a sash. And I've seen, you know, especially in baptisms, the priests that wear white. But I was actually very surprised to see that he was wearing some black gown. And I was like, what? And not only that, but he had some sort of like a hat, I think. There was like a hat to go along with it. And it was like pointy. And not to be like rude or insensitive, but I think it looked like a... It honestly looked like a KKK hat, or, you know, the thing that they wear, like, it's white and pointy, except this one was black and pointy. I don't know. I thought that was a little weird, and I got a little scared, and I was like, ooh, what is this? Honestly, I don't know. It was so weird. But anyway, we are going to take a very, very brief break, but keep on listening to the Hollywood Pileup on Penguin Radio for your dose of celebrity news and gossip. That's right, because I know y'all want to hear the latest. Oh my gosh. Yeah, because there is seriously some breaking news that I am dying to tell you, but you're gonna have to keep on listening till after the break, so stay tuned. All right, don't go anywhere.
This is DJ King, and my show, Hollywood Slang, comes on Penguin Radio here Mondays, 4 to 5, where I show you how the spotlight can always be so bright.
tear your ass too. Swag on them even when you're drag casual. I mean, it's almost unbearable. In a 100 years, not down with I. Pull up on side, let you pay me back. Nothing like your leg guy, he too square for you. He don't smack that ass and pull your hair like that. So I'm dead watch, hand wait for you to salute and chew this pimp. Not many women can refute this pimp. And I'm a nice guy, but don't get it confused.
Hey there, welcome back everybody. You're listening to the Hollywood Pileup, and I'm your host, DJ Stacks. You're listening to the one and only Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Now, it seems like today is all about the Kardashian-Jenner clan, but I promise it won't be entirely. There's some really good stories coming up that aren't going to be about them, but I think I have two more. Yeah, I have two more. But first, I remember I told you guys that I was going to break some news to you guys. Yeah. Kind of some sad news, honestly, because I think we need to play a sad song, too, honestly. Now, do you guys remember last week when we talked about Ariana Grande and Big Sean and the whole debacle that happened with Justin Bieber and, you know, him holding Ariana? The sad moment has come. The end of an era. The end of the 8 months together for Ariana Grande and Big Sean. Yes, I know. They broke up. I'm so sad. Honestly, I love them. And this morning, you know, on my drive here, I was like hella jamming out to some Ariana Grande and Big Sean. Because as you may or may not know, they did have music together. They did collaborate with each other. And I thought that was pretty cool, you know, just because they were dating and, you know, they had sweet music together. So I just can't believe it. Now, it's funny because I found out that they are breaking up. And it's funny that the first headline is Ariana Grande and Big Sean are breaking free. Because if you guys are Ariana Grande's fans, then you'll know that that's the title of one of her hit singles. So they totally just broke up after 8 months of dating. And they say, so this is what their reps had to say. They both deeply care for each other and remain close friends. We kindly ask that the media respect their wish for privacy regarding this personal matter at this time. Now, there's some insiders that say that they have actually been very quiet and they have amicably ended their relationship a few weeks ago. And this is a quote by the reps or by a source for Us magazine that says they made the decision to part ways because their conflicting touring schedules would keep them apart over the next year. Now, Ariana Grande, who's 21 years old, and Big Sean, who's 27, had just confirmed that they were a couple a short 8 months back in October of 2014, and they had even appeared on stage together on many concerts. They had, you know, been together at the red carpet for the 2015 Grammys. And they were also so freaking cute to each other, like, on social media. I know that he used to, like, you know, put pictures up of her and have all these cute, like, quotes about her. And they just seem so in love, honestly. And it just makes me so sad because I loved them as a couple. I mean, I think I liked them both as artists individually. But when they just came together, I was like, oh my gosh, I love these two. And, you know, if it didn't work out, it didn't work out. And this is what, you know, Big Sean had to say. He wrote on April 4th, "Just know I love you and care for you." And Grande said on Twitter early on Thursday, "Love you, babes, the most." And she also wrote, "You just can't imagine." Oh, like, that is so cute. Ah, I know. It's a sad, sad day. I'm seriously not over it. I feel like I broke up with them, you know, but I'm not, because I hella like them. But anyway, that was that. Gosh, such a sad story. But anyway, we're gonna keep on moving, keep it moving with some more Hollywood gossip. Now, I told you guys that I had some more, you know, celebrity gossip about the Jenner clan, the Kardashian Jenner clan. And this upcoming story is actually about the one and the only Kylie Jenner. Actually, may not be the only one, because a lot of people are trying to look like her. But anyway, so we've all seen her dramatic change in appearance in the past year or so, or, you know, maybe even minutes, because I swear every single time that she posts a new picture on Instagram, she looks completely different. Now, we've seen her with the pitch black hair, then she chopped it off, and then she dyed it blue. And then one day she was flat, and then the next day she had a major Kardashian booty. If you didn't get that, then I don't know what you're thinking. But anyway, we've also seen it on her face. The 17-year-old girl has repeatedly denied of any plastic surgery. But she's not fooling all of us. We know that something's different, because there has been comparisons of what she looked like a couple years ago versus now. Now, I know that puberty has a lot to do with it, but damn. Like, those people and their genetics pool, you know? Like, if I would have developed as voluptuous, you know, in all the right places like her, I would have been dropped off in front of the freaking Playboy Mansion, honestly, because, oh my God, that girl, very, very voluptuous everywhere. And I seriously mean everywhere. Now, she's taken a bunch of pictures too, and she is not shy about it. Oh no, she is doing her thing. She is snapping pics left and right of all the new places, you know, that she has on her body and all the places that have developed. So, you know, she's got it all now. She's got the tiny waist, she's got the thick booty, you know, and she has surprisingly grown into a big girl bras, because now she can actually fill them in. Whereas before, you know, she was lacking, and ain't nothing wrong, because she was really skinny. And I think that when you're really, really thin, then of course, and you're barely developing, then of course, you know, you're not going to have as much. But now, I guess she has a little something more to work with. Not that she should be working it, because let's be real, she still is 17. But not to mention now that she has those plump duck-like lips too. And seriously, no more forced duck face pics for her. Now, she also seems to have influenced many, many girls out there to try and imitate her look. And in today's age of the ruling social media, it seems like we've seen it all. But have we really, honestly? I mean, just when you think that people couldn't be any stupider, here they emerge. And I know that stupider is probably not a word, but, you know, for the sake of the stupidity, I'm just going to put it on out there. Now, I guess that the new cool thing to do is to get, like, really, really, really fat lips. And we're no longer talking about the simple makeup trick. Using lip liner over, you know, to overdraw the lips. No, ma'am, that is so January. And the new hip trend is actually to take a shot glass. You put it over your mouth, you suck in the air, and you keep it on for a couple minutes, and then you take it off. Now, it's supposed to act like a suction cup that pulls out the lips and make them appear large and in charge. But here's the thing, though. People are now taking this way too far, and they're leaving the shot glass on their lips for long periods of time. And when they take it off, they look ridiculous. I'm talking hideous. They look like Big Ange, you know, from the VH1 reality TV series. Like, you know what she looks like, right? I mean, she's got the big old knockers. She's got the huge ass lips. But anyway, back to the story. People are hashtagging Kylie Lip Challenge. And take a look online. See the disastrous, and I mean disastrous, results. Oh my gosh. Ugh, these kids, I swear. I remember when people made fun of my big lips because they were just so out there. And now we have this? Like, what kind of nonsense is this? It seems like, you know, every day there's a whole new trend. And every day there's something new that the kids are trying to do out there that, you know, just to make them look like they're celebrity role models. Honestly, Kris Jenner, where are you? And why are you allowing this? Oh my gosh. Anyways, but it seems like Kylie isn't the only Jenner trying to turn into a woman. You know, we've heard the rumors about her dad, Bruce Jenner, the former Olympian gold medalist, and his transition. But no one's ever really been sure that the allegations were true. Well, now we hear that Bruce is ready to speak out and be open about his transition on an interview with Diane Sawyer. The interview is scheduled to air this Friday, the 24th, at 9 p.m. on ABC Eastern Time. And in the video teaser, he says, "My whole life has been getting me ready for this." He also shares his concerns about his children when he says, "Those are the only ones I'm concerned with." I'm excited for him. I am. I'm glad that he now has the chance to speak openly about such a sensitive topic. And I don't know whether or not he will admit to the rumors about him, but I'm sure that he knows. I sure hope he knows that there are many people out there who are cheering him on. And I know that even in the year 2015, it seems so obsolete that coming out or transitioning would be a topic to spark controversy. But that's the sad reality. You know, it is still a struggle many people face today. And it's difficult to come out to your friends and even parents. So now even imagine how hard it must be for him to come out in the, you know, in the public, and or even for rumors to come out, you know, about his sexual orientation or, you know, this whole transition. I totally feel for him, and I think that he's very brave, you know, for wanting to do this and wanting to connect with the public by saying, you know, by putting it out there and saying, like, hey, you know, like, it's not something that he can change right now. It's not something that, I don't know, just something that he's been working his whole life at. And it's a struggle. And I encourage everyone to stop and think for a moment about those who are struggling and in fear of coming out, just to respect their decisions, you know, respect it. You may not like it, you may not agree with it, that's all right. You are completely entitled to that. But don't place any judgment upon them, you know? Let's just be mindful of everybody. Let's be mindful of everybody who at, you know, some point in their life feel like they don't have a voice. Let's just acknowledge and accept that those people are here and they are here to stay. Like, come on. It's 2015, for God's sake. Let's be mindful of everything. Now, in speaking of mindfulness, Kendrick Lamar, let's talk a little bit about him, because there have been a lot of stories that I've talked about him. But now there's actually going to be a course in... There's going to be a course of, you know, Kendrick Lamar and what he thinks black appropriation is, you know. And there's a teacher out there who has been, you know, teaching Kendrick Lamar's new album, you know, his sophomore album, To Pimp a Butterfly, is being taught by, I think it's a high school teacher who was all who. OK, so this is what happened. So this teacher was actually in the middle of teaching, you know, some sort of unit on Toni Morrison's novel, The Bluest Eye. And this is a novel that, you know, talks about like the African-American struggle. You know, it's somebody who has always wanted to be, you know, blonde and with the blue eyes and, it's just the struggle that many people faced back then. And I think that it's something that people still face today because, you know, African Americans are they are a minority and people still treat them that way. So the way that this teacher is, you know, sort of wrapping up the album and the novel is to bring in the complexity of the album and tie it to some issues that people are still facing now and tie it to the same issues that people were facing then. So the story, The Bluest Eye, is set in the 1940s, and let's keep in mind that, you know, Kendrick Lamar's new album just came out maybe in the last month. So let's say that it came out in the last month. And so they both talk about, you know, living in poverty. They talk about, you know, how we idolize, you know, glamorous stars of the film industry. There's a lot of historical context in both the novel and in the album. And they talk about a lot about, you know, what happens when the collective voice of society perpetuates whiteness as a standard. And this is all from the professor. He actually wrote a blog about it. And it's a whole big, long blog about how people differentiate, or how his class is differentiating the album from the novel, but how they are also connecting it too. And now he says that the butterflies represent the African American community. The butterflies is a symbol of beauty. They're full of color. You know, they can't be manipulated. They can't be exploited, controlled, or confined. So this is, it's like a vision for America. And they're trying to say that, well, Kendrick Lamar is interpreting this as a view of America, of what it is now, that the culture, American culture, is trying to pimp the butterfly. And by pimp, they mean trying to exploit. They are trying to manipulate. And it's true because in another article that I read, we're talking about some black appropriation and how a lot of people think it's okay to appropriate to black culture. And now, yes, we've seen everybody, you know, from Katy Perry to Taylor Swift, you know, and try and incorporate, you know, certain aspects of black culture into their pop songs and all that. But it's, are they really just doing it because they think it's cool, or are they doing it because they actually are, you know, people who are allies to the community? Now, the Hunger Games actress, she's only 16 years old, and she actually wrote, no, she didn't write, she made a video of what it's like, you know, to to appropriate cultures and what that really means. Now, Amanda Stenberg, you know, filmed this video for her history class, and she posted it on her Tumblr titled Don't Cash Crop My Cornrows, a crash discourse on black culture. So she discusses the black hair, the connection to the black identity, you know, the rap and hip hop that comes from it. She says, so you can see why hair is such a big part of hip hop and rap culture. These are styles of music which African-American communities created in order to affirm our identities and our voices. Now, in the video which she posted to Tumblr, she criticizes, again, Taylor Swift and Katy Perry for adopting the music and style of hip hop after its rise into pop culture. Because it's true, I have seen that a lot of pop stars have been including, you know, have been wanting to include the hip hop aspect into their music. And whereas before, you know, hip hop was a way for artists to differentiate themselves and to identify themselves, as opposed to being identified by white pop artists. Now, she says that, you know, in 2010, around that time, you know, pop stars and icons started to adopt black culture as a way of being edgy and gaining attention. Now, this is very true, and she exemplifies this with Miley Cyrus. She says that in 2013, as you may recall, totally stirred up the world by twerking and all that. And, you know, but here's the thing. She used black women as props. And then in 2014, in one of her videos called This Is How We Do, Katy Perry used ebonics and hand gestures. She eats watermelons while wearing cornrows before cutting inexplicably to a picture of Aretha Franklin. So as you can see, cultural appropriation was rampant. And this is said by Stenberg. You know, so these are just some examples that she points out. And she also points out that there's a few magazines, especially fashion magazines, that call cornrows a new urban hairstyle, when in reality, hair is very important in the African American culture. And if you or anybody, or if you know anybody, you know, who has African American hair, you know that this type of hairstyle is not new, and that it's not only an urban hairstyle. You know, it's, people are very insensitive towards that. And then I love that Stenberg brings up Macklemore and Iggy Azalea, and, you know, because they have been, you know, adopting the black culture to their music. And she emphasizes that their fame coincided, you know, with nationwide protests against the police killings of Trayvon Martin, Eric Gardner, and many others. And a picture of Iggy and Macklemore was posted on Twitter that said, the king and queen of rap. Now, really? No. First of all, rap and hip-hop did not derive from them. And, you know, therefore, they are not king and queen. And now I'm getting a little defensive here because I'm, you know, it's the reality of it. And it's sad because, you know, African Americans have paved the way for this genre of music and for this art that is, you know, that they own. And it's a matter of their own identity. So now when white rappers come and try and take that, it's like, once again, they are being robbed of their identity. And the rapper Azalea Banks, who is known definitely for getting into lots of arguments with Iggy Azalea, mentions that, you know, she brought attention to the fact that most of the white celebrities who adopt black culture in their careers have not spoken out, you know, in alliance with the protesters, like the ones that we have mentioned previously. And Azalea Banks tweets, "It's funny to see some people like Igloo Australia, aka Iggy Azalea, silent when these things happen. Black culture is cool, but black issues are, huh?" And honestly, that is very true. I think it's very true because I know that Macklemore was an ally, you know, especially for the LGBTQ community. And it seems like he would also be an ally for the African-American community. But never once have I heard him say or speak openly about that. The same thing goes with Iggy Azalea. Yeah, she, you know, she tries to talk the way that most rappers, especially who are African-American, speak. So she tries to do that. But she, not once has she spoken out about these issues that black people face. Now, Amandla also says that that the line between cultural appropriation and cultural exchange is always going to be blurred. So then she then defines exactly what cultural appropriation is and why it's wrong. She says appropriation occurs when a style leads to racist generalizations, but is deemed cool or funny when the privileged take it for themselves. It occurs when the appropriator is not aware of the deep significance of the culture they are partaking in. And then she concludes her crash course with the question, what would America be like if it loved black people as much as it loves black culture? And then there's a funny picture of her with with the thing saying, "Mic drop." Like, yeah, that's right. These things are, they're very intense. They really are. And it's just, we as a country, I don't think we have really, we really haven't advanced too far from where we began, you know? How many years has it been since slavery? And how many years has it been, you know, that minorities like blacks are going to be continuously murdered by white officers, you know? When is it going to change? When are things going to change? And it's just a difficult topic. And I think it's something that is controversial, but I think it's also something that should be, you know, said out there and spoken about because it's important. It's very important. So we are just gonna have to make a change in ourselves and hope, you know, and try to make a difference in the community too. We can't allow this to continue on. I mean, there are still so many issues out there that many people are facing. You know, we just briefly talked about transitioning and coming out, but also the topic about race. It's, you know, America was built upon immigrants. Nobody here besides Native Americans is an actual American. Nobody. And it's just sad to see that this is our humanity. But anyway, we're going to take a very quick break and keep listening, everybody. I know that was kind of some hard news there, but I promise that we are going to turn things around a little bit. Let's get back into the mood of it. So keep on listening. You're listening to your girl Stacks here at radio.dominican.edu. Hey, spinning in circles, live my life without rehearsal. If I die today, my nigga, was it business? Was it personal? Should this be my last breath? I'm blessed because it was purposeful. Never got the church to worship, Lord, but please be merciful. You made me versatile, well-rounded like cursive. Know you chose me for a purpose. I put my soul in these verses.
born sinner, was never born to be perfect. Sucker for women licking their lips and holding these purses. Back when we ran the streets, who would think we grow to be murderers? Teachers treated niggas as if they totally worthless and violent and hopeless. I saw but never noticed that a college point is right to be all that you can be, posters. Rest in peace to Tiffany. I don't know if this the realest shit I wrote, but know the realest nigga wrote this and signed it and sealed it in an envelope. And knew one day you find it, and knew one day you come back and rewind it, singing.
I'm a born sinner, but I die better than that. Swear you are always where I needed you to be, whether you were there or not there.
Shit is a gift, but God help us make it, cause this music biz is a cliff. I got a life in my grip, she holding tight to my wrist. She screaming, don't let me slip. She see the tears in my eyes, I see the fear on her lips. True, when I told you, you the only reason why I don't flip and go insane. My roof in the pouring rain, you knew me before the fame. Don't lose me the more I change, no. Just grow with me, go broke, you go broke with me. I smoke, you gon' smoke with me. Woman's curse is birth, man lead her to the hearse. I go Bobby, you go with me, damn. Listen here, I tell you my biggest fears. You the only one who knows them, don't you ever go expose them. This life is harder than you probably ever know. Emotions I hardly ever show. More for you than for me, yeah. Don't you worry yourself, I gotta do this for me. They tell me life is a test, but where's the tutor for me? Pops came late, I'm already stuck in my ways. Ducking calls from my mother for days. Sometimes she hate the way she raised me, but she loved what she raised. Can't wait to hand her these house keys with nothing to say.
I'm a born sinner, but I die better than that. Swear you are always where I needed you to be, whether you were there or not there.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Hollywood Pileup with your girl, Stax. And we are going to be getting into some good news. Now, we have some happy news. Over the past weekend, Chris Brown posted some pictures of his daughter, Royalty. And he actually got a lot of praise, even from celebrities. And this is what Tyrese had to say in his picture. He actually reposted a picture of Chris Brown and says, "Please tag whoever needs to see this." He meant to say, "Please hashtag whoever needs to see this." "Chris, my bro, use this moment. Use this God-given stage to give other young kings permission to get more involved with their kids. Young fathers who look up to you will say, 'Breezy is proudly involved with his daughter, so what the hell am I doing?' Rather, planned or not, it was ultimately in God's plan for Royal to be here. You have no idea how much literally everything changed for me when I was blessed with my angel, Shayla Gibson. She's my boss. She's my bottom line. So many people were cleared out because everything changed about after she got here. Managers, agents, lawyers who are not on their A game, gone. Every so-called friend that was in my face and stabbing me in the back, gone. Before she got here, I didn't realize how much crap I used to tolerate and put up with. I would put up with all of it. Then suddenly I realized there's an expiration date on Loyalty. I boldly and unapologetically cleared out all things, people, and situations that no longer belong because keeping them here would directly affect my daughter. I got love for people, but I got no one like my daughter, so they had to go. Chris, my brother, everything is going to change. Everything is going to change. I repeat, everything is going to change. People are in life for a reason. Others are there for a season, and it's temporary to, and it's important to recognize when people's seasons are over. You can't walk into the new season of your life with dead weight. It'll weigh you down. And stop you from reaching your goals and tapping into higher levels of happiness. It's not about you anymore. Everything we do, say, everyone that we allow to stay around us, every deal offer you accept will directly affect your daughter. the hashtag Unexpected Angel. Congratulations to you and your little princess. Hashtagging Royal King, hashtag Big Bro Moment, hashtag Sunday Mental Supper. Wow, that was pretty breathtaking, honestly. That's actually a very, very well-written piece, too. Very well said. Some users, you know, absolutely took his advice and, you know, tagged, you know, fellow people, you know, who needed to hear this message. And I applaud that Tyrese, as an African-American, you know, father, is there for his children and is encouraging other men out there. You know, no matter what their race are, no matter what their ethnicity is, you know, to become involved in their children's life, because it's important. You know, you need your father just like you need your mother. So I love that. Good job, Tyrese. Very, very good job. Now, in speaking a little bit more about some rappers, we're going to be talking about some Drake. No, you know that I love me some Drake, but it's really funny though that somebody actually created a whole search engine devoted towards Drake. The website called, what is it called? I just did like Drake search engine on Google, if you Google that, but you won't need that, because all you need is the new search engine called Let Me Drake That For You. It's funny though, because he has the words "let me," and then Drake in the font that Google would use, and especially in the color text that Google uses. But the "Let Me That For You" part actually is from the if you're watching this, it's too late, or you know, his new album or his new mixtape. So it's really funny because there's a Drake search and then there's an "I'm feeling drizzy" button, so you can actually type in anything Drake related and it'll come up. Even if you type in wheelchair and Drake search that, you come up, there's a quote that says, "You girl, you right there, you look like you like this search, how'd I know?" And everything about Drake and a wheelchair comes up. Seriously, there's like articles that, and you know, it has the headlines on them, there's pictures, everything is very well laid out. There's also some funny memes out here. I'm looking at the Drake wheelchair search and there's a meme that says, "How you feel? 25 sitting on 25 inch wheels." And if you guys recall, Drake was an actor for Degrassi, the Canadian show, and it's just so funny though. And where he played, a disabled student there. And instead of being called disabled, there's a meme that says drizabled. Honest, this is funny. And there's another one. I'm just going to share all these funny ones because I just can't keep them to myself. There's one that says last name walking, first name never. Get it? So if you're a Drake fan, you know that these are the lyrics to one of his songs when he says first name greatest, last name ever. Get it? Greatest ever. Or, yeah, you know. But anyways, this is really funny because there's a whole bunch of memes, articles, pictures, all that good stuff. And I just type in anything that you want to know about Drake, or, you know, people who he's been involved with. If you type in Rihanna, anything comes up. All the pictures with him and Rihanna come up, all their parties that they've attended, all the articles, any type of news. It has like a whole bunch of good stuff in there. But I'm just wondering what the "I'm feeling drizzy" is. So let's type in something. I guess let's keep with the wheelchair theme. I get it. Okay. So when you type in, or when you click on the "I'm feeling drizzy" button, he comes up and he sings, and there's like a little, there's some of a like a music video clip in there, just nice, pretty funny if you ask me. Oh my gosh, where has this time gone? We literally have 5 more minutes. Now, there's also a, I don't know what kind of crazy things people do and what kind of, you know, stuff people have time for, but apparently people have been counting off the times, the amount of times that Drake says the number 6 in his new mixtape. Now, there's, I saw this on, what was it? I think it was on Wild 94.9's website or blog or whatever. And they say that Drake loves his hometown. And so the 6 is supposed to represent Toronto's, what is it, area code. So they say that you can hear how many times Drake says the number 6 on If You're Reading This, It's Too Late. And somebody actually created a video on YouTube that is just cuts. It's like a super cut, honestly, of all the songs that say 6. You know, songs like 6 God, 6 Man, You and the 6. And there's a bonus track called 6 PM in New York. Now, oh my gosh. Can you guess how many times he says the number 6 in the new album? So if you are lazy like me and you don't want to read, or if you don't want to listen to how many times he says 6, so the answer is 25. He says 6 25 times. Oh my gosh. Crazy. Crazy. Seriously, people have way too much time on their hands to be counting off how many times Drake says 6. Oh, but anyway, last week we also talked about how Madonna, you know, surprisingly, like, made out with him. And it's funny that some people are calling it sexual assault. But no. He cleared the air and he said, no, you know, like, the kiss wasn't bad. It was just, like, what was on her lips. Apparently she had, like, some nasty-ass tasting lip gloss or lipstick or something. Which, by the way, most lip glosses and lipsticks aren't. So, I mean, if you're Drake, you're kissing people all the time, then you should probably be used to the taste of lipstick and lip gloss. I know that it may not be, like, the ideal thing to have in your mouth, but hey, it could be worse. But apparently for Drake, this was worse, having lipstick in the mouth. And that's why he had that, you know, bad reaction. And everybody was like, oh, crap. Like, you know, he hella just dissed Madonna by not liking the kiss. But I guess, I don't know. But anyways, people are, you know, assuming that it was sexual assault. And people are just making a really big deal out of it. But there's some sources that tell TMZ that Drake actually liked the kiss. You know, but again, that it was just the lipstick. But it wasn't planned. And she didn't have his consent to kiss. And some people are saying that because of this, it was a sexual assault. And, you know, I don't know. Honestly, I think that it was. I think it was planned. Maybe not the whole kiss, but I mean, obviously it was planned for her to dance around him, you know, while he's in a chair, like Nicki Minaj did in that one video, you know, where she's totally like just grinding up on him, and then he gets up and then he has a similar expression on his face. But I'm sure he didn't, you know, I'm sure he was not happy about that. I don't know. Very crazy. But anyway, we are going to wrap things up right now. Thank you everybody so much for listening to the Hollywood Pileup at radio.dominican.edu. Penguin Radio, that's right. Stay tuned for next week. We're going to have some more juicy gossip. Yeah, because I know that I can't get enough of Hollywood gossip. But anyway, thank you all very, very much. Hope you'll have a wonderful rest of your Monday. Keep it up. Monday is almost gone. So, I think that coffee got me really hyped, though. I think that's a good thing. I need it. Definitely need it. Mondays are always long. But anyway, everybody, have a wonderful day. We'll see you all next week. Bye-bye. Could you
se fait, ça se fait pas. Je m'en fous.